Yeah, I do. And what honestly, the only reason I was able to sell websites in the beginning and make a decent amount of money for me at the time and be able to go full time with it is because my designs did look nice. Now, I was terrible with copy. I was not good with SEO. I didn't really have any of the other aspects of web design as a whole. All I had was care. Like, I really cared about my clients and really wanted to do a damn good job and good eye for design. That was enough for me to start making money. And then as I got better with copywriting and headings and conversion-based design and then SEO and then all the other aspects of web design, that helped me tremendously, but it really all started with just a decent eye for design. Yeah.
You're listening to The Angry Designer, where we cut through the industry bull to help frustrated graphic designers survive and thrive.
What up, angry designers? Today, we have yet another really cool treat for you. So there's this huge debate out there with graphic designers on, do they just stay in graphic design? Do they just focus on branding, on logos, on work? Or do they go to the other side and incorporate web or just completely abandon design and go to web? I've talked to so many designers, so many agencies, and they seem to be scared about that jump. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to reach out to my buddy Josh, who, you know, he's got millions of views on YouTube on this topic. He's got like hundreds of podcast episodes about this kind of topic. He is the man in this space. And so I thought, why not bring him on and let's have a talk since he does have a little bit of design history. So I'd like to present the one and only Mr. Josh Hall.
What an intro, Massimo.
You like that, eh?
So good to see you. I told you before we hit record, we were like, we're going to have a good time. I even brought my beer. Where did the angry
So the angry designer part, and this is kind of funny. So I'm Italian, right? I'm Italian, and everybody... my whole life is like, dude, why do you always sound like you're angry? And I'm like, I'm not angry. I'm Italian. Yeah. I'm passionate. And that's really what it comes down to. I'm passionate about this. And we don't hold back. We have some episodes where we just like we don't hold back and we kind of let it rip. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's always passion driven, which everybody my entire life has always said, you know, has been angry. So
yeah,
that's where that came from.
Half of my family are Italian. A lot of them live in Jersey and like, oh my Jersey. God, we would have
they're angry.
We would have these annual get togethers and it was like, somebody's going to kill somebody here.
I know. And right. And really they're just talking.
Yeah. They'd be like, you're an asshole, you're an idiot. And then the next minute they'd be like, so how are things going? Like,
that's true. Right.
And then we had half the families like far right and half the families far left. And it was just,
My God. Yeah.
Lord, on that one. You do not want Italians on the different side of the political spectrum.
Nobody, not at all, right?
Man, so hey, cheers. Cheers. Good to see you again. I'll wait till you're ready.
Let me just pour this bad boy.
So good to see you
again. Finish up the blends without Sean. Oh, there you go. cheers to you, man. Buddy. Yeah, so this is going to be fun, actually. This is going to be a great episode because this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. You know, I don't want to let anybody know which side of the fence I'm on this one, but I think they probably already know, and I'm sure they'll realize soon enough. But I thought that this was just like this. You must hear this all the time in your space, no? Like,
oh yeah, and look, it's really, really common. Just for context, I started out as a graphic designer.
That's why you're here.
I had zero interest or even vision for web design. I started out doing graphic design. My story in a nutshell is that I actually used to be a cabinet maker for a tour bus customizing shop. So I got to work on some really cool projects as a cabinet maker. Got to work on like Metallica's bus, Johnny Cash's bus, some really cool stuff. And then a lot of corporate vehicles and stuff. Anyway, I was doing that job and then I got laid off in 2009. Half of my company got laid off. And I had to decide, like, well, what I want to do from here. I really didn't have a clear direction career-wise what I wanted to do. I was also the metal drummer in a rock band. We were playing around doing the Weekend Warrior thing. And that all combined with the idea that I really like art and design of some sort. I always enjoy art, which is really common for all creatives. We're usually in, like, an art class in high school, and then naturally you design logos.
And you keep remembering the good old days.
Yes, the good old days, yeah. So I dove into Photoshop the day after I got laid off. And it was so perfect for me because I was in the band world and I had a real interest in doing like artwork and stuff. So I learned Photoshop head first, like every hour I was awake, I was just learning design and back then, awesome. This was circa 2009, so there were some YouTube channels. It wasn't what it is today with online education, but there was enough for me to get my feet wet and just play around with it. And then I started doing artwork for my band. That's really where it all started. I started doing t-shirt design. I eventually created our third album cover.
Awesome.
Had no idea what Vector was and sent off a billboard design with a small PSD file. And they printed this like $2,000 banner and it was all pixelated. We were mad at the printing company. They were mad at me. I didn't even I use Photoshop. Yep. Pixel-based design, and I did not...
Vector versus raster. Yeah, who would think,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, now I need to learn print design and what vector means and all that stuff. So then I got into Illustrator, and that really brought me into the world of print design and graphic design, and that's when I started my business. I started first doing just graphic design, and then as I found out, shorthand is everyone was asking me, thank you for the business cards. Can you do my website? Do you do web design? Do you do this, this? So it was a natural progression for me from graphic design to web design.
Now, not only did you just then switch over, but then your company actually grew pretty quickly within those, 8 years, 10 years?
Yeah, there was it was about a 10-year journey total. I ended up selling my agency in 2020.
Yes.
It was a wild,
amazing,
a wild 10 years. Yeah. I mean, I went from just wanting to make some money doing design, doing something I actually enjoyed. And I will never forget. And if anyone has had a similar moment, I know you know this feeling. When somebody at a festival asked me who did our artwork, and I said, I did. And they were like, how much would you charge to do ours? It was the first time I got an offer to make money at doing design and not cabinetry. So it was so cool. So I just wanted to make money, and then eventually I started freelancing. Then I did some night classes at our community college, learning primarily the full suite of Adobe and InDesign and a little bit of photography. And it was kind of a night school program just for design in general. And it helped give me a well-rounded knowledge of all the aspects of print and graphic design. And some of that was web design classes as well. So it really was a natural progression. And then as my business grew and I started doing web design more, I did not cold turkey jump from graphic design to web design. But what I did start to do is, because my web design projects were often so big and so much more that I was charging for, which some of that is on my end because I wasn't doing full branding. I was just doing business cards, flyers, brochures, and logo design, which I probably should have charged way more for. but that's when I started to kind of phase out graphic design. Then eventually I did go all in on web design.
On web design. Now, but there's still always been a design component to web, which I'm sure because initially you were a one-man shop for the longest time, right? You brought in contractors, of course, and you to do the back end. But ultimately, was it not just you the whole run, the whole 10 years?
It was mainly just me up until about 6 or 7 years into it. I had dabbled around with delegating some work and finding some subcontractors, but it wasn't until I had 23 projects on my plate as a solopreneur, and my first daughter, Bria, was due in 3 months. It was like, there's no way I'm going to get out of this on my own. I've got to delegate. I had just started talking to a guy who ended up being my lead designer. And thankfully, and as you know, Massimo, we had Bria, and then we were in the NICU, the newborn intensive care unit, for 56 days with her. And so it was really hard to keep creativity in my business afloat, but it was really scaling and having some help that got us through that. All that to say, it was me for a long time until whether I liked it or not, I had a business and then I started treating it like a business. And I do think you mentioned the design component. I am so grateful that I started with graphic design because by the way, and I'm sure everyone listening to this feels this too. If somebody gets into online entrepreneurship and building your own online business, whatever that looks like, you need good design. And whether you're going to do social media posts or reels or thumbnails, whatever it is, there's graphic design in everything. And same thing for websites. Like I see some of my students who get into web design now and they have zero eye for design. And I'm like, that is a hard place to start out with. You can use templates and you can try to mimic other designs. I actually have a course specific to just the design side of web design, just to give people the basic premise of typography and color contrast and hierarchy, just basic design principles, just to get them going, because it is really hard to start a business and run a business now if you don't have some semblance of an eye for design.
They would struggle a little more. I usually define the example as like there's two types of, you know, web designers, right? There are the coders who are technically, you know, proficient. They could code a great site, make it run, make it rock, make it secure, but they're primarily leaning on third parties for templates. You know, they're using these kind of, you know, stock kind of themes to kind of build sites upon. And they're pretty flat, generic sites. And still, they probably work for the company. But, you know, that's web designer number one. And then web designer number two follows a more design-centric approach. You know, they're still probably equally as good in the coding, or they hire an awesome coder to do that side. But then they take the other side. They learn about the customer. They learn about the journey. They sell the product. And they design the site a little bit more, so it's a little bit more brand-centric.
Yeah.
So both are equal. But, you know, I mean, limitations for one, the other. I mean,
it's two different sides of the brain, too. You're really digging like creativity, and like development is a little more logical, and a little more like there is right and wrong on like how to code. There's not right and wrong on how to make a heading look good or a graphic look good.
Yeah, right. So then you feel that your graphics background did give you a good kickstart into this space, into the
absolutely, absolutely. Again, I have no regrets starting graphic design first.
Do you think that that actually enhanced your websites versus a lot of your competitors?
Yeah, I do. And honestly, the only reason I was able to sell websites in the beginning and make a decent amount of money for me at the time and be able to go full time with it is because my designs did look nice. Now, I was terrible with copy. I was not good with SEO. I didn't really have any of the other aspects of web design as a whole. All I had was care. Like, I really cared about my clients. I really wanted to do a damn good job and good eye for design. That was enough for me to start making money. And then as I got better with copywriting and headings and conversion based design and then SEO and then all the other aspects of web design, that helped me tremendously. But it really all started with just a decent eye for design. Yeah.
Yeah. So you bring up actually a really interesting point here, because you talked about so many different aspects to a website project, right? Obviously the look, but then the copy, but then the, and then the SEO, which is kind of like, once you're done with the site, how you take it further. Do you think that people are maybe intimidated, thinking there is so much to learn, you know, making this jump versus, hey, I just want to do logos all day long. Do you think that could be a little bit?
That is for sure. That is probably the number one main struggle for graphic designers getting into web, because suddenly you go from a flat design typically, and you know, graphic design has its complexities with the different color styles and RGB, RGB versus CMYK and everything, and print versus web and everything else. But there is something to a website that suddenly becomes multi-leveled, like, and responsive too, which luckily most builders now are pretty responsive. But suddenly I can make a business card design or a logo and it looked good on something, but now there's like the design, but then it moves on different screens. And even apart from that, there are these other aspects. There's SEO, there's accessibility now, there's privacy now, there's security, there's not only copy, but there's like messaging, and there's things like that that change. There's a lot of different aspects to it. I don't wanna scare anybody away from web design, but the reality is there is a lot more to it. Depending on, you know, if you look at just pure like flat design versus web design. So that was the biggest challenge for me too. Although, I mean, I got into the industry in 2010 when I started doing website designs, and it was basic HTML and CSS. And then mobile wasn't even really in the picture until a few years after that. So it was a little easier, I think, to get going then, despite having to learn to code a little bit. It's a lot easier now to actually build websites, but there's just a lot more to it.
Yeah. I think, what are your feelings on people thinking that web design, making that jump, is a lot more restrictive from a design perspective, right? Like, when you've got paper, when you've got your logo and working on brands, it's like sky's the limit, and you're not bound by any sort of technology. Yet, you know, a website, people often think, okay, it's code, it's grid, you know, you've got boundaries. I mean, what are your feelings about how creative or limiting website design can be?
I think, honestly, the only limitation is the client. or the hardship, because with the tools nowadays and with different things you can do with CSS and animations and whatever, you could just about design anything. You know, it may be the way you build it would change depending on the tools and platforms you use. And there's so many now. I'm a WordPress guy, but there's so many options like Webflow, Wix, Squarespace. It's all right. I'm also very like this my podcast has brought me into the wider world of web design, which is fascinating coming from the world of just WordPress originally. So there's a lot of different tools to use. I would say there's virtually no or very little boundaries of what you can do online, but the business side of things is where that gets complicated. Then you're dealing with the clients who want the logo bigger and, or, you know, whatever the look they may have in mind. It's a little different. And I will say, it kind of depends. Designing on the web is really 100% about your clients and what they need. Yeah. Because if you do a design that is just off the wall, super artsy, and very, very different, the artist in you might love it, but that may not translate to what their customers are used to seeing. I have a friend, Jason, who runs a site called Swift Sites, and it is I think he's closing on $2 million building websites with this business in like 5 years, I think it is. It is extremely productized, very templatized, and he has a process that he guides his clients through. And he said it best. He said, if you want like a artsy, wild site, you can do that, but do it after you have a site that you know is going to work and make you money. Like basically you're gambling with a fresh new wild artsy site as to whether or not it's going to work. Whereas if there are proven call to actions and buttons that are placed certain ways, that's, I don't want to say a safer way to go, but those are the kind of boundaries I'm talking about where it's a little more about the client, the customer and the experience that you're used to. So, I don't know if that answered the question exactly, but that's my mindset.
No, it did. So again, a barrier to entry maybe for some people, of course, is that they probably feel that they're too small. They're just a freelancer, one-man shop, two-man shop. And again, the perception of a website, it seems to have so many damn components that they're just trying to figure out how to actually piece it all together. Do you think that it's attainable for somebody, you know, like a freelancer then, you know, somebody who's used to just doing, you know, design work, social work, you know, t-shirts, you know, and to actually make that jump into that next space?
Oh, it's
or to even offer it as an add-on service to what they're, maybe that's more the kind of,
I think add-ons, upsells, back-end offers are the best way to go about it to start. And I guarantee, I mean, everyone listening as a graphic designer, I'm sure you're getting the questions about websites and stuff. And yes, you could pass them off or be an affiliate for an agency. There's so many ways to get into web design and have it as an offer, as an upsell or a back-end sale without it being your full business. I think the key, though, is because web design is multifaceted and there's a lot of different components to it, I would only focus on what you really want to do and what you're good at. And it's one reason I'm passionate about being a community builder now. So my community is called Web Designer Pro. And one of the primary reasons I started that is I had all these students who had different superpowers and capabilities. Some were really good at design, but they were terrible at SEO, or really good at copy, but, you know, didn't know how to code at all. I'm like, we need to have like a collective where these people can partner with each other and work together. And this has become more and more common over the years. But I think that's where the true gold is to be in a community. There are free Facebook groups. There's a bazillion community options, pros and cons to free versus paid and premium groups. But if you can find a collective and find a group of people, web designers who you trust and know and can partner up with, that's how you can do it practically. Is like a graphic designer could get into websites, and if they're really good at design, and maybe they're good at copy, for example, but they don't know SEO, they don't really want to want to learn it, security, I don't even know what the word accessibility means, then hire or partner up with a designer, freelancer, or somebody else who can fill those areas for you.
Absolutely. And I think that is one of the biggest misconceptions of this space. So again, you know, I'm a huge proponent, of course, of web. I am passionate graphic designer. This is what I do. This is what I love. But I always wanted to own that agency. And to me, the agency is the business side.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I, you know, just slinging logos, you know, every week and creating brand strategies and brand approaches, that would be great, but that would dry out soon. And then unless I'm doing their marketing and their social on an ongoing basis, I've almost lost that client. Where as soon as you start, you know, introducing this whole world of the web, and now you can also help them on that side. It takes your brand strategy, you know, offline, online. It allows you to start creating material to feed into that. And it's kind of like this never ending well of work for one customer. Yeah. So now all of a sudden, you know, a $10,000-$15,000, you know, logo design project, very basic, all of a sudden it turns into a $40,000-$50,000 digital campaign. You're building their site, you're building courses, and behind that, you're gating content. Like, it's just never ending. And I do find that those are the customers that we keep for life, because you know, again, because then there becomes this bigger relationship. You know, they rely on you, and you're constantly feeding this machine that is like, that is their brand.
I wanted to ask you what the recurring revenue options were for graphic design nowadays.
Exactly,
because that is the main draw for web design, is that it is not and should not be a one-off service. There is a movement right now that I've noticed of the resurgence of the webmaster, which was a popular term in the 90s where, you know, companies had their webmaster. He did it all. Yep. He was IT, he could fix the printer and build the website and everything. It's kind of like that now. And I think even though web design is cluttered and there's a lot of competition and there's a lot of options for people to build their own websites, the online world is still freaking confusing. And most business owners get to the point, if they're a true business owner, where they're like, I should not be tinkering around with a GoDaddy builder and figuring out my email and stuff. I need to have somebody or an agency or a shop or a studio to take care of this end of things and let me do my business. That is the true gold for web designers, is to be, the webmaster. I have a lot of students right now who are doing in the ballpark of anywhere between low, like around six figures to multi-six figures with a couple dozen clients.
See, it's incredible.
It's ongoing.
It's incredible.
And they just add more value, you do more things. You had mentioned a bit about like strategy with the two type of designer or web designers, just kind of developers, designers. Yeah, I think there's a third, which is strategy, which I would separate from pure design, because strategy may get more into like business development.
Agreed.
Actual like copy, messaging, and things like that, which fit with design.
But the relationship goes there.
Yep.
Right? After so many years of understanding the client, understanding their brand, you can get to that space.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could do things at scale, but there's that. What's honestly kind of cool about that is you don't need to sell that much. Like you just get really good and you just serve your clients really well, work on more client nurturing and retention rather than acquisition. And then suddenly you don't have to sell every week. You can just have like a couple dozen clients and do really, really well. And they will refer you, especially if you prompt them. So yeah,
absolutely.
That's the one of the coolest aspects of web design. So I wanted to ask you, Massimo, like for graphic designers, you mentioned social media. Like, what are the avenues nowadays for ongoing work and recurring work for graphic designers?
So, you know, we are full agency model, right? So I respect and love some of my peers who, you know, they're great at brand strategy. They love that. They go in. But other than social media opportunities, right, they're constantly, it's harder to nurture a long-term relationship if you're limiting yourself to the, you know, the analog world, you know? And okay, granted, social is still, you know, physical components that you can kind of throw in there. You can create a design and then post it, create a design and then post it, right? But even that has got only so much life. Direct mail's out now, right? People used to rely on actual direct mail campaigns. Now, you know, because of the cost involved, it's limiting. And so, you know, honestly, it does dry up. Even when you're doing campaigns and creating like, you know, larger ongoing campaigns, it still all kind of ties back to this, to the online component. And that's where I found personally the biggest value, because it was a lot easier to build out a 1, 2, 3 year strategy for a customer if we were actually, you know, maintaining their website. If your website, it's an organic sales tool.
Yeah.
It is constantly evolving with the customer. And I mean, again, it's great for short campaigns. It's great for landing pages. It's great to A-B test and just kind of, you know, spin up and just kind of try things at a lower cost versus running a campaign of 50,000 direct mail pieces that you know, kind of bomb in that sense.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know? So again, it's for the customer, it's a lot, they could take a lot more risks online versus when it comes to larger campaigns. So, you know, in all fairness, coming from the print side, you know, the material, like our largest customers, we are creating a ton of content for them, but it's all for their web. It's all for their social. It's for their website. It's, you know, e-guides. It's books. Granted, their social component is pretty big for that, but that's like, it's still all digital. If you can offer that extra, you know, website management for the small to mid-sized customers, it's reoccurring revenue. It's easy to get into a retainer model, which I am a big fan of with my customers. I struggle to find any other way to do it without offering the web component, unless you're just willing to constantly, you know, wait for the next client.
All roads lead to websites. Even
so true.
Even if you do mailers, like if it's like sign up for something, where are they going to go? Probably the website. So that's why, like, and it's why I think a lot of digital marketing agencies now who do ads and the marketing campaigns try to take over websites from web designers. Yes. Because they want to have some control there too, or have it as a part of their offer.
Absolutely.
Which is dangerous. I've talked about this recently. I had a newsletter recently talking about digital marketing poachers. Not to say that web designers and digital marketing agencies can't work well together, but my recommendation for anybody doing websites is to let clients know, as soon as this goes live, marketing agencies are going to want to do marketing for you, and they're going to want to take over your website. But I recommend keeping them separate. If they need access to the website to do things for marketing, we can do that. But keep that separate, because as you know, as soon as somebody leaves a marketing agency, everything's gone. Right. Unless they have access to their website or ownership, which a lot of these companies don't. You basically rent a website for as long as you're with them. That's the danger of that model. So
it is. And you know what the funny thing is? So to that point exactly, right? You can start a relationship with a customer. And I have seen this happen. We're pretty fortunate, not to us, just because we offer the web component. However, I've had, you know, so many peers that they create the brand. It looks great. They create the brand strategy. They create material. Then comes the digital component and they bow out. They're like, well, we don't do this. So, you know, you're going to have to, you know, we'll give you the material, but you're going to have to outsource that to somebody else. Well, then that other company tends to be a little bit more savvy. They start building a bigger site. Then once the site, you know, starts going live, like you said, they're digital marketers. You know, they often, you know, start throwing in more, you know, social components. Well, let's get your social campaign going. Then they'll add the SEO component. Then all of a sudden they start managing the brand and they start creating the material instead of you. So often what happens is the long-term relationship and future asks end up going to the more savvier digital companies, I'll call them, right? Maybe not just a web design company, but they're the company that can do websites. They're the company that can offer brand strategy, that have a, you know, a very competent graphic design department. They're a little bit more full service. And that happened because people often bowed out at the beginning saying, no, we can't offer anything past the brand strategy, but it was great. Thank you very much. And I got tired of all the, you know, constantly hunt, eat. I wanted to be on that other side and I wanted to manage that whole experience going forward.
And even if a web design agency or digital marketing agency isn't savvy necessarily, they're top of mind.
That's
the danger is if you're a brand strategist or brand designer and you do a one-time type of thing with logo and brand styles and in some initial marketing design and graphic design, and you turn it over to somebody and you expect them to like always come back to you when they need those services again, if somebody else is top of mind and taking care of other aspects, they're just going to go with them. Maybe they might come back to you for a refresh or something like that. Yeah, you're right. If it's like, well, I'm working with this marketing agency who's doing my website, if they can put together some flyers for me or whatever it is, we'll just go with them. That is the danger, I think, for graphic designers. Now,
agreed.
And I will say, I mean, for anyone who just wants to focus in on one thing and do it really, really well, I can't say anything against that. That is definitely a very viable way to go. I think the only way to do that and really make a large income to do one-off projects, as you probably know, is to be like extremely high priced. And I don't know what that world looks like, honestly. I don't know what the, you know, like tens and tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars of branding packages. I don't know what that looks like, what the competition's like. So I think in order to do basically one-off projects, one-time projects, you would need to get extremely high priced and premium. But that's a whole nother game. Because then you're dealing with like RFPs, requests for proposals. You're dealing with, yeah, just you're potentially boards of people.
And often that's not a one person organization.
Right.
You know, when you're at that level, unfortunately, unless you're like Sagmeister, you know, or, you know, David Carson, who can just, you can just bang out whatever price point you want and they'll pay it. I mean, you need a big team behind you to constantly evolve, grow that brand, do the research. And guess what? If you have that kind of team behind you, you've probably got the web chops also behind you, or if not another web agency that's supporting your business if you're at that level.
That's, go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
I was just going to say the idea of like partnering with a web agency, that is like step one. That's the first thing I would do, because graphic designers, brand designers, logo designers, if we want to group them all together, are an amazing partner for web designers and web agencies. They both work with each other. They can be referral partners.
Yep.
If somebody wants a website, but their logo is terrible and their branding is terrible, they could start, you know, with the partner to do the logo and brand, or hire them to be like a part of the project. And phase one is logo and brand. Phase two is web. They are amazing partners. So I would start there for anyone. Like, find a partner who does web. And then as you start to figure out areas of web design that you like, focus in on that, and then have partners to fill in the rest. It is the surefire way to like to be an ongoing partner with businesses, and you're almost kind of a consultant in a way with just knowing people and partnering up with people, and it's a referral train, man, to be able to do that.
And that's, you know, I think that would solve probably the biggest apprehension that most graphic designers have, because they think, I mean, I can't code. I'm a designer. I don't, that's not my world. I don't understand that. And what they're missing out on is, fine if you don't want to do the coding side. And again, my code is very limited. I mean, my coding experience is HTML, maybe a little bit of CSS. That's it. I mean, I dropped that 10 years ago. I knew that wasn't for me. But that's not where a website project ends for me. I mean, it's always, number one, the strategy. It's the discovery session where you're finding out about their business. You're trying to position them in the marketplace. Then it's like all the upfront work, the site mapping, the information architecture. Then we own the user experience, right? There's so many different stages. And then once you do the user experience, then you work on the creative portion of that, where you can control the headlines, the copy, all this. Sorry if I'm like taken away from the website. But what I'm saying is, all this is capable within a graphic designer once they kind of get their mind around it, and none of that involves code. That's understanding how the site works.
But then
you can rely on your partners to take it home from that point.
Yeah, and it's no secret now that you really don't need to know barely any code now to build websites and even do it professionally. I think it's worthwhile having like a crash 101 course, or you could find this on YouTube. I mean, I teach this in my courses, just the basics of HTML and CSS, just so you know what's going on when you're using drag and drop builders and stuff. But you really don't need to know barely. I mean, really, technically, the only thing you need to know is like heading ones, heading twos, paragraph text, basic HTML, and how margin and padding works with containers. That's it. That's like 101. That's all you really need to know from a very, very simplistic standpoint. And then you can really focus on the other aspects of web design alongside graphic design. Side note, one little hidden way to get recurring work as a graphic designer / web designer is if you do new graphics every year or every 6 months, and there's new graphics for like YouTube, all your social media, new graphics for the website, that is a fresh cycle of design that is done as a graphic designer.
Yep.
And there's not even touching code potentially. You're just swapping out graphics on the website, updating. Like, I mean, I don't know. Imagine you have 20 clients and every year you do a package that's $1,000. We'll keep it on the low end.
Sure.
And then every year, $20,000. Nice little. Like that's a way you could be a graphic designer and utilize the other aspects of the web without, you know, diving into PHP.
But you know what the challenge is? And I think what people are missing here is, if they don't have any control, any say, any involvement with the website, those updating projects every year go to the web agency. They're the ones who are going to say, hey, we've got a graphic designer. We can take your new look and we'll put it online. And guess who's getting that money? Like, you're leaving valuable reoccurring dollars on the table. And I mean, maybe it's a different mindset. You know, I was always, again, of the mindset of owning an agency, not just, you know, doing, you know, brand work. And I love brand work, but I always wanted the bigger picture. I wanted to control all of a company's marketing and their marketing destiny, not just, you know, one small corporate ID element, right? So, you know, that was my mindset. And again, it's so easy to consistently, inject yourself into another company's web portal, website, you know, web content on like a quarterly basis, you know, biannually, like on so many levels.
It's a thin line. I mean, it's really tricky. I wouldn't say that everyone should do like a full stack agency model where you're doing anything and everything. I mean, I think we've both highlighted the reasons why you may want to do it, or at least do parts of it.
Yep.
But there is a danger to being like the jack of all trades and master of none when you're like, I can do logo design, I can do graphic design, I can make a brand style guide, I can make a website, I can do a little SEO, and then suddenly you're just not great at anything. So I think that's the danger, apart from the danger of being overwhelmed and burnout,
because
manage, unless you're only managing like a dozen or two dozen clients.
Yeah.
My recommendation is kind of the hybrid between doing one thing and doing it really well and doing 100 things not so great, is to do a few things really well and partner, like have partners for the rest. Or grow your team to handle the rest if you do want to become more of a studio or a small agency.
Exactly. And to that point, I am not, you know, the everything to everybody. My specialty is being a generalist. And this sounds so random, but you know, obviously our agency has our niche. We are a niche agency in the business-to-business technology sector. That's our niche. My personal experience, although I'm a passionate graphic designer, I am a generalist in the sense of I see almost all the moving parts. I am not the number one SEO guy in the world, but I know enough that if somebody's trying to sell me crap, I can call them out on it, right? I am definitely not the best logo designer out there, but I am enough of a creative director that I can call the shots and be like, dude, this looks amateur. This, you've missed the mark altogether. So, in contrast to that, it's like, I think being a generalist and being able to oversee everything and not actually, and being cool with that, right, kind of allows you that bigger picture, right? And you need that for an agency.
If we can still be friends after this, I would tell you to remove your generalist mindset. And I really think you're a strategist.
Yeah, that just sounds boring though, dude.
I know, but generalist sounds weak. Generalist is like, that great.
I know, we could
find a better term.
I know, because strategists just, you know what, growing up, the strategists were always scam artists. When they came to me and they're like, I'm a brand strategist. I'm like, you don't
know. And that may be different than the web world. Strategists is probably viewed differently for websites than brand strategists. So I could see that for sure. I guarantee somebody's listening to this like screaming, saying, I've got it. I've got the term. So
I know. Send it in, guys.
There's
got to
be something. But I see your point in like, you have a good feel for all the moving parts. And that is very, very valuable, because some people who are really good at design, or really good at development, like you said, terrible at design, they don't have a good feel for that. Some people who are good at design don't have a good feel for copy. Some people who are really good at anything web don't understand graphic design or print, or they're making designs and then suddenly that company wants to print stuff out and it's done in RGB and it's, you know, looks terrible on print. So there
or
is
low res.
Yeah. Low res. Like, yep. There is something to be said about knowing a little about a lot, mm-hmm. you know, a decent amount about a lot of things. But I think what you've done is it's not all you. Like if you are a solopreneur, correct. I'm not sure what your business would look like. I don't even know if you could have your hands on as many things as you're keeping the pulse on if you didn't have a team around you.
No. I would have lost my mind years ago if that was the case. I need my team. So now if you can contrast, the different parts of a web project, a web design site versus a branding project. What are the similarities and what are the differences?
I don't have too much experience on the brand side of things, so I don't know if I can accurately.
Okay, well, let's play back and forth. I mean, you talk about the parts in the web,
yeah,
and I'll see if I can inject brand on that.
It's probably similar in the way of you look at like your ideal customers, you really should start with like, I mean, honestly, the first question is like, how do you want this website to make you money?
Yeah.
Like what is somebody supposed to do on the website? That's like, that's priority number
what's
one.
What's the end goal?
And the goal. Yep. Yeah. What's the end goal? What's the call to action or multiple call to actions? That really is the main goal. It's what I teach in my process course, which is we really need to look at like the customer journey and it can be very, very simple. And even just knowing like, do you want people to get a quote and go through a contact form? Do you want like a robust contact form? Do you want like a type form that's guided? Do you want somebody to call you? Some people prefer to be called. We really got to figure out that first because that's going to dictate really everything around that. I think in the way of whereas branding, at least in my experience, and I did hire out some brand folks on some projects I did, it was a lot about, I mean, there were similarities with how you would design a website from concept, which is like, what's the mission? What are apart from the goal that we already covered, like what's the mission? Who are we as a business? What type of verbiage are we going to use? Of course, that leads into design style and color theory, color management.
What's our promise?
Yep, all that stuff. So there's there really is a lot of similarities. I tell you one thing, one benefit of being a brand guide specialist or creator along with graphic design is that will take care of a lot of work for websites because we don't need to find a font. We got the font. We don't need to find the typography styles. We got those. So
the voice is written.
The voice is written. Yeah, the brand voice. A lot of that is if it's not taken care of in a brand guide, that's what you're going to have to do in a website, at least you know, the basic versions of it. Otherwise, you're going to have a scattered mess.
And I think that that's a good spot to end this first half of our conversation with the one and only Mr. Josh Hall. Now, I know that web design isn't for everybody, but I do think that it's something that just can't be glazed over either. There's a lot of design in web. Graphic designers can give so much to the web. It's a great stream for reoccurring revenue. It's a great way to grow relationships with your customers. And let's face it, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. So it's perfect for this whole, you know, land and expand model we always talk about. Now, I'm not saying you're a fool if you don't want to offer it, but you definitely are if you don't at least take a good look for yourself, you know, do the research, listen to what we're saying, you know, take a bigger look if this is something that you can or should offer or at least consider. I mean, a big part of being a graphic designer is, of course, is our ability to adapt to the market, to customers' needs, you know, and I think that we as graphic designers have so many amazing transferable skills that you'd be doing yourself a total disservice if you're not at least seriously considering if this is something that you can offer versus something that you're too scared to even consider. You don't have to code. And I mean, these unknowns, they're just unknown for a minute. But once you do figure those things out, you're going to have an endless amount of work on your hands and you can grow your company, you can grow your clients, grow your customer relationships. And again, this is just saying it worked for us. And I am confident that this can work for you. Join us next week as we continue this episode with Josh. We talk more about web, you know, what it takes to set this up, you know, no code options. We talk about AI. And of course, we hit him up with a speed round of crazy questions. Hit us up on Instagram where we have amazing conversations with some of our angry designers or check us out on YouTube. I'm kind of trying to grow that. And, you know, like us, share us, love us, hate us, you know, whatever you need to do, just drop us a line because honestly, we're here to serve you guys and gals, angry designers, everybody on a whole. On behalf of Sean, Josh, my name's Massimo. Stay creative and stay angry.